Hey everybody, welcome back. Issues, the only comic podcast that has a black man that is half black man that is actually blacker than Luke Cage.
Believe it or not, it's true.
No one's sure how it happened, but here I am.
I'm your host, Jason, with the usual suspects, Dick, Jordan, and John.
Yep. Welcome to it, guys. It's another issue here. Another episode, whatever the fuck you want to call it. But I'm amazed we've made it this far, honestly, with the way that this is so slapdash put together.
Well, dude, this is the 26th episode, so we have literally survived half of a year doing this show.
We're a whole fucking U.S. television series, like, season into this.
No, the next issue is going to be the reboot, where everyone's going to be recast. I'm going to be a woman. Jason's going to be a Mexican.
Wait, does that mean that they're going to recast me as a bald guy in a wheelchair?
You're going to be recast.
Wait a second.
You're going to be recast as James McAvoy.
Oh. Yeah, I, you know what? I'm actually okay with this.
Well, folks, tonight we're going to be talking Battle Pope. For those of you who don't know, Battle Pope was created by Robert Kirkman, as in The Walking Dead, and Tony Moore. And published under their own small press name of Funkotron back in 2000. Image picked up the rights, colorized it, and reprinted it back in 2005. And this is what we got. The story of a completely degenerate, hard-drinking, hard-fucking pope. Because that's something you've ever heard of. Condemned by God, no less. And left behind after the rapture. He's called upon by God to save St. Michael. And given the help of God's only son himself, Jesus H. Christ. And, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've said that during this fucking story. We're not even going to go into an in-depth synopsis of the story. Because I'm going to hand the floor to Jordan on this one, because there's one big issue with this comic.
Okay. Yeah, the biggest issue that I had with Battle Pope is probably the fact that issues 5 through 12 don't really need to be there for the story. They're interesting little things to look at, but as far as stuff that was going for the overarching story, you really only need about 6 issues for this. And it made Battle Pope a bit of a harder read for me. Just because, I don't know, it felt to me like issues 5 through 12 were kind of just retreading the same ground that issues 1 through 4 did. Because I think at some point he fights the fucking zombie twins 3 fucking times during the course of this 14 issue thing. Which didn't make any fucking sense to me. But yeah, that's really the biggest issue I have with reading this. It's still a good read, but I think it could have standed to be condensed a little bit.
Okay, can I tell you why that happened and why that was the thing it was? This is sort of a riff on superhero comics. They were the regular villains. They were your Magneto, your Doctor Doom, They're your stand-in villains that are always there. The city that he's in is the metropolis. It's the Gotham of this self-contained universe, basically. The reason he fights them multiple times is because they're the established villains from the forces of hell, basically, that are in this area. Because he's like a superhero, kind of, He's the Battle Pope. And so it's a riff on traditional superhero comics, so I can understand why you didn't like reading it a lot over and over again. I can totally understand that. It does retread the same ground very, very thoroughly, almost a little too thoroughly. However, I liked it personally. I liked the way that it was filled out and everything. I liked the way that it allowed us to see the character put into a few different situations with various different, themes put throughout the story arcs and whatnot. So I liked it. It was fun. It allowed me to go ahead and, get to feel the bond between Battle Pope and Jesus and everything, and sort of put everything really in place and kind of built this sort of rich fabric behind the other comics. So that way, you know, everything from 12 to 14 was just perfect. You know, I liked it. I thought it was great. I thought it made everything nice and rich and filled in. But that's just me.
Well, now that you put it in that context, it makes perfect sense. Because I was asking myself, like, what's the point of them doing this? And now that you've said it like that, it's like, oh, that's actually fucking brilliant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. That's why I love it. It's a perfect riff on the superhero formula.
Yeah, I had a slightly different opinion on it. I like this comic in the same way that I like Assassin's Creed, okay? I'm sorry to get to the video game analogies, but it's going to happen, so just go with it.
Okay.
I thought that, like, Assassin's Creed, great game. It's got some great mechanics. It's got all this stuff that's really good. But you end up doing the same mission over and over and over again. That's the way I feel about Battle Pope, is that I completely get that. I completely get that it's a riff on superhero comic books, especially superhero comic books where you've got, like, an established cast of villains. But my main issue was that it was the same battle every single time. So, like, when Doc Ock comes into a Spider-Man comic, he does something a little bit different. You know, one time he kidnaps Mary Jane, one time he...
marries Aunt May.
Marries Aunt May. One time he steals Spider-Man's body. And I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, but he does different things, you know? He does, like, something slightly different or quirky, or if he's a bit feeling a bit manic, he's going to, like... I don't know, stab a load of people with his arms. Battle Pope seemed to have the same set pieces over and over. And Belloc, the main kind of, I guess, one of the main villains, even though he's really ineffective, is like, it's basically the same fight that he has with Battle Pope, and it's over in about four panels. And again, like an Assassin's Creed game, once you've seen one mission, basically seen all of them, and that's really my only issue with it. Really well written, the art's great. Like Tony Moore, oh my god, I love Tony Moore. His first Walking Dead trade that he did is one of my favorite comics just for the art. But it kind of, even though I was like aware of its intent of being this commentary on earlier run comic books, it just was a bit repetitive. That's my main issue with it.
No, and I completely understand that, and I totally see where you're coming from. Yeah,
it's a purely taste thing, though. Like I can exactly see where you're coming from as well. So it's kind of like we agree on it, I guess, but just have slightly different tastes, and that's fine. Like
I think there is something we need to keep in mind with this, you know, because this is a commentary on, you know, superhero comics, which you may be seeing the same battles with slight variations over the course of 50, 60 years. Battle Pope is only 14 issues.
Right.
While it is a little repetitive, I think it's not really hurt that much because it is such a short read.
Hmm.
I mean, sure, you're sitting there going, you know, we've retread this ground 2-3 times. But at the same time, there's only 14 issues, so it's not like they can retread it much more.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like this could have had a bigger universe, to be honest, and could have had more things going for it. There's plenty of other things that are left untouched, you know? Little things that are never really spoken back to. And,
but I think this is a point where we should honestly make a conscious decision to take this motherfucker off the rails.
Oh, good lord.
Let's talk about the individual fucking characters.
Okay.
Let's start with Pope Oswald Leopold II. Trained at a young age by Bruce Lee himself, because the Pope needs to be ready for anything. We have here a man who really just wants nothing more than a good drink and a good fuck. I mean, to the point where he almost has a one-dimensional character because of it. I mean, he's got just enough character to make up for, but sex and booze are very important to this man. hell. Enough so that even the Pope himself couldn't be judged, you know, worthy of heaven when the rapture happens. I mean, this is a Pope I could actually get behind. I think the Vatican needs to listen.
I think the strength of Battle Pope as a character is being this one-dimensional badass. I think it really is, it plays into, once again, that riff on superhero comics really, really cleanly, because it takes a look at, like, for example, if you look at Superman, early Superman, he is literally just a paragon of justice, and that is it. You know, he is saving people and shit, and that is all that, you know, there's not the intrigue that comes with later storylines where you get a lot more weaving of other things in and stuff. And, he's very much like, and I'm probably going to get booed for saying this, but like the first Superman movie, for example, and I know that that's a movie and it's not a comic, but just bear with me here. It's just like he's very much, you know, save the world, do this, do that, stop Lex, you know, fix the fault line, all that shit. Fly around the Earth fast enough to go back in time. Or was that Superman 4?
Yeah, that was the first one.
Okay, yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah.
Little ridiculous. But nonetheless, it's very, you know, there's those little variations, those little twists. Like you had, like you were saying, you know, with, you know, your classic sort of superhero things. There. I lost my train of thought because of the train. Fuck. All right, let's go silent for like a little bit so we can cut this out.
Well, nah, dude. I know what you're going for. I mean, you're saying, you know, Superman's very one-dimensional, but, you know, he's still a very popular character. And it wasn't until later that they started putting character into him behind the scenes.
And the same thing sort of happens here. When you go ahead and get to issue 12, then, you know, Pope kind of... It changes subtly enough to kind of... become a bit more smarmy, a bit more of a smartass, and in a different way. And it's kind of nice. I like it. He changes just a little bit.
Yeah, there's definite
a positive way.
Yeah, there's definite character development.
But overall, I just love how he's this archetype superhero extreme. You know, he's this focused point. That's my favorite appeal about him. I think he's my favorite character next to Jesus. But we'll get to him in a moment.
Actually, literally, we're getting to Jesus right now.
But, Jason, if I might just interject one thing before you move on from the Pope. I wasn't reminded of Superman. I was actually reminded a lot of Spider Jerusalem when I was reading Battle Pope, just because he's got a lot of the same kind of tics that Spider has. He's very dedicated, he's very opinionated, and he does have a very sort of, like Dick said, a subtle character development towards the end, as does Spider, but yeah, I was like reading, going, yeah, this is Spider Jerusalem. If Spider Jerusalem was a pope,
and condensed into 14 issues.
I could have 14 issues,
and had superpowers.
Yeah, that too.
Now I'm just imagining Spider Jerusalem with superpowers.
That needs to happen,
dude. Actually, though, reboot.
Oh God!
Please no.
No, please don't even mention that. Someone will do it, and it's gonna be
actually
awful.
Okay. No, good idea. I'm gonna totally brain bleach that for you guys with a good idea. Rotoscoped film of the first couple story arcs in Transmetro. Come on, that'd be pretty cool. You could only do that movie rotoscope though. You couldn't do it with actors. The art style in that it lends to it, but we're off topic now.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the Son of God. Literally, like, oh my God! Milano, you should take away.
Hold on. There's a question we all need to ask right here now. Have you accepted Jesus?
No, I will never accept him.
Why? He was a pretty cool dude.
In retard.
I accepted Jesus.
Yeah, but
at least
he wasn't preachy.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you gotta admit, if you had to accept any one Messiah, that depiction of Jesus is not a bad choice.
It's really not. He's like roommate, but great Messiah.
He's like mentally eight.
Dude, it's like he'll turn your water, your beer into wine. Maybe fucking, you know, turn your shake into some fucking kind.
Does this mean I'm going to get a little brother?
Right? He's very innocent, very naive. I'm thinking a good amount of cards short of a deck.
He's this carefree, aloof, sort of perfect portrayal of innocence, because, you know, Jesus is always referred to in the Bible as this innocent lamb and everything. So it's funny how Robert Kirkman here just took this liberty to kind of be like, oh, they mean he's an idiot.
The best way I can honestly put it is he's Forrest Gump with messianic power.
Pretty much, yeah. And he actually can shoot a gun pretty well.
Yeah, Jesus carries a revolver.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a 38 special.
Because you may say, you know, God watch over me, but in the end, it's down to you.
It's either a 38 special or he's carrying like a 44 mag. It's one of those two.
I kind of like the idea of, you know, Jesus with a 44 mag.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes more sense, honestly, like canonically in the Bible.
It's like he doesn't like to use it, but when he uses it, you get stopped.
I also like how Jesus is somehow extremely acrobatic.
Well, he's didn't read that part in the Bible?
He's like flipping off of like demons' heads and stuff and like shooting them through the face and stuff. Like, I'm impressed. It's like some Matrix level shit.
Dick, you might not know that the 1984 film Jim Carter was actually based on the life of Jesus. For anyone who's not seen Jim Carter, it is a martial arts film with a gymnast.
Oh, God.
The worst part is I didn't react because I literally just closed my eyes, rubbed my temples, and shook my head.
Yeah. I'm glad you did. That's exactly the reaction I pictured you having, and it was great.
Fucking A. But yeah. God damn it, it's derailed everything.
I know.
Episode's ruined, fuck.
We're taking this one from the top. There is no episode 26. Well, if we just got done talking Jesus, there's only one logical place. Let's talk about our Lord and Savior himself, God.
He's kind of a cunt.
Yeah, who is also actually canonically Jesus himself, which really lends a new depth to the storyline if you think about it. It almost becomes one of your weird anime, Mulatto.
Hey, look, don't fucking pin this on me. You like some of this weird shit too, so go fuck yourself.
Just because I wrote a Boku no Pico review doesn't mean I enjoy it. Because I didn't. Holy shit.
We know the kind of weird shit you enjoy. You sick fuck.
I prefer 2D, or 3D gore.
Well, you know.
But yeah.
Does this mean Jesus is a loli?
We'll run with that one. But no, God is a dick.
Royal fucking dick.
Like, I don't see why anybody would want to follow this fucker.
It's funny, in comic books, like, God is usually portrayed as a complete arsehole.
Yeah, like, Preacher.
Preacher's such a dick. In Marvel, it's kind of an uncaring, like, petulant dick who looks like Stan Lee.
I thought it was Jack Kirby.
They change it up a lot.
Okay.
Depending on who's, like, in favor with him. But yeah, like, I don't know. I just every time God showed up in this, I was just like, oh, come on. His interaction with Michael.
Archangel
Michael was, he was just like teasing him. Because Michael is kind of a homophobe.
Yeah.
And he was just like taking the piss out of him.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, dude. Don't do that.
And he's fucking doing the kissy face while he says it too.
Now, what gets me, what really sets me onto the point of hating God in this comic is right at the beginning. The rapture happens, and you know how many people worldwide God pulled? And they confirm it in the spin-off St. Michael miniseries. Two people on Earth were up to God's standards. That is an elitist prick if I've ever heard of it.
Well, he's fucking God. He can do what the fuck he wants.
But he expects us to love him? Fuck you. It's called equity, motherfucker.
Well, you know, he don't give a shit.
Then he ain't getting my love.
Well, I mean, come on, you gotta keep in mind, this is the same motherfucker who fucking flooded the entire planet because not enough people believed in him.
And he spared an old drunk.
Yeah.
And then left him to inbreed with his family to repopulate the world.
Well, nobody said God was ever bright. That explains why Jesus is the way he fucking is.
Well, not only that, but, like, he gave the worst pope ever superpowers. Like,
Hold on. I'm going to contest your use of the words worst pope ever. I would actually say he's the best pope ever.
I have to agree.
Okay, no, okay. By God standards and popely standards, he's the worst pope ever. However, by metal standards, he's metal as fuck.
Indeed.
That's one of the vibes I get from this, too, is it's very, very metal, and I like it.
Mm. It's like it's metal like a Pantera tribute album where all the songs are done by Pantera. I mean, it's the only thing I could really think of to be that was appropriate. But no, God, that art style is so metal, though. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of the problems that I think this runs into, though, going back to this, is that it is a 14-issue run. I feel like they could have done more with the character. What do you guys think? Just the universe, too.
I think originally they meant to. I don't think... Cause as we all know, Robert Kirkman has an issue with ending things.
Gee, you think?
somewhat. I suspect that with more or less all of his comics, like Astounding Wolfman, again, that was quite a short run that really was picking up steam towards the end of it, and then it was finished. So I suspect this was another one that he was kind of like wanting to continue for a while, but basically all his time got sucked into The Walking Dead because that was the most popular one. I would have really liked to have seen this like properly expanded on, like a good 30, maybe even 40 issues, just to kind of flesh everything out, because it is a great universe. And even though it is a little bit sort of repetitive, that again, that comes from more the initial 4 issues before it came to Image. It was because the first 4 issues were just a direct, you know, copy, except they just coloured it. So I would have loved to seen this carry on. Yeah, I definitely would have liked that.
Well, yeah, especially with the way that it's ended, it's very obvious. It was an abrupt end to this. And yeah, I agree with you, John. It would be really interesting to see this continued in some way or another.
Well, he also has to go save the rest of the... Well, no, he doesn't need to go save the rest of the planet, technically, because of the way it ends. What it ends on in the stupid, like, Wayne's World super mega happy ending, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just like, it totally just is like, yeah, everything's fixed, we're good, my marriage was fucked up, that's all it was, man. Oh, sorry for spoiling it, by the way. Yeah, good job me. Oh, well, they can deal with it.
Dude, we never care about spoilers on this show.
I know, but we're doing so good for not having any. Yeah, no, overall, it's just like this literally got cut down right as it started getting good. That's the worst part, is like there's so many little plot lines and things that are left all over the place. So many characters that are left in weird little one-off storylines that are not explained ever. They're just not touched on. And it's just like, are you serious? Like, you know, there's all these things that you could talk about.
You know, and I actually just realized a problem I have with this comic. And I think you'll agree with me. If Mary looks like that, I'm calling bullshit on her being a virgin.
I don't think she turned into that until after she had Jesus. I think she was fat at first. And then because she had sex with God, she got skinny. Because, like, just,
so,
you know.
So, what you're saying is that when she was younger, Mary was a dumpy, shy little girl.
Exactly.
Who got taken behind the dumpster by Jesus, given a good by God, given a good plowing, and then popped out Jesus 9 months later.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But since she realized nobody'd ever believe, you know, God impregnated her, it's like, I'm a virgin.
Yeah, I'm a virgin.
It's more plausible than the reality.
She starts picking at her sleeve. I don't want
to
talk about
it. It's like, you know, she's embarrassed because God tried to put his thumb up her butt or something. I mean, if you're going to do something like that, you got to ask first.
Yeah, I mean, that's just common courtesy.
Back issues, where you learn the proper etiquette for anal sex.
That's well, I mean, is it really anal sex if it's just a thumb?
No.
I mean, that sounds like prep. That sounds like you're getting ready for something.
Yeah, you're just getting the hole geared up.
Yeah.
Proper etiquette. The thing I always thought of that was like, in most of these comics, God's just ahead. So, like, I figured he'd be really good at eating it out, but anyway.
Hey.
Well, then the only way he could have gotten her pregnant is if he had jizz in his mouth.
That wouldn't surprise me.
God, I think we managed to bring a little more edge to this one than the Johnny the Homicidal Maniac episode. Jesus.
To be fair, though, we are talking about a pope trained by Bruce Lee, given superpowers, and then is told to go and fight the devil with Jesus.
Who has a never-ending supply of cigars in his ammo belt.
Not to mention we have four people here who have a very obvious grudge against God.
Well, I think you're the only one with the obvious grudge. The rest of us just were like, eh, whatever. Fuck
it's just cares. Subtle. We just let it boil under the surface.
But seriously, every time God shows up in a comic, he's a prick.
I mean, that should say something a lot about the people who draw and write comics.
Well, no, look at depictions of God in comics and anime and shit in general. They're either a prick or they're like an idiot.
Video games as well.
Well, no, like, it's like God. You either got like God from Battle Pope or you've got King Kai.
Oh my
Nothing
God.
In between.
Well, no, if you look at video games too, you also get gods that are like inherently evil as well.
Like every Christian. Fucking buddy in God of War.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
I was going to say literally every JRPG, because how do all those end? Oh, we got to kill God now. Why? Because he's going to fuck shit up.
Well, it's Japanese anger, man.
It's
they're angry at God.
It's
they're
not
like,
always God.
They're
guys.
Like, you
oh, I'm sorry.
This
it's
shit.
Only like 99.9% God.
No,
my bad.
It's more like 98.972%. I did the numbers.
Well, fuck. As we all know, niggers can't do math.
Hey. No, it's like, seriously, the Japanese people hate their existence so much that their video games are like, let's go kill God.
Dude, do you think this would have done well in Japan if they had marketed it to Japan?
Hold on. Mind blowing thought. Battle Pope anime. There actually is
I love the
anime
panels. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the manga panels are fucking great.
Well, no, dude. Spike TV's website used to have animated like webisodes of this random shit. There was a Battle Pope one.
What?
Oh my God.
Dude, yeah.
This would make a sick ass fucking TV show. Actually,
it'd be like in the vein of MTV's old early 90s setup, like when you had Aeon Flux and the Max and fucking The Head.
Exactly. And you know what's really great too is that you could serialize it too, so it could be all sorts of crazy ass shit as well. It doesn't have to be a continuous story arc, although you could probably weave one in a la Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, no, like we need to get in contact with Kirkman. Like we need to be like, hey, dude, sell the rights to someone, please.
Hey, fam, we need a Battle Pope animated series.
We need one right now.
Right now,
come on.
Come on. Take your sweet Walking Dead money.
Time Warner will run it, dude. I have no doubt in my
mind.
If
not HBO.
Yeah, I have a feeling Time Warner would probably pick it up though.
Netflix.
Oh, Netflix would love the shit out of that, actually, though.
Oh, they put out BoJack Horseman, and that is the most depressing show I've ever watched. They can go the opposite way and put out Battle Pope.
Dude, for real. Like, that, like, okay.
No, dude, amp it to 11, uncensored Battle Pope.
Oh, fucking Christ.
That would be crazy. Oh, Jesus.
But, like, have it be just, like, not just, oh, titties everywhere. Like, you know, Pope's fucking a chick, demons burst, and he fucking, like, jumps up, his dick's flailing around. Like, go to 11 with this shit.
Yes, actually, though. That would be awesome. Like, for real. Like, you could also make it metal as fuck, too. Like this whole IP lends itself to just being ridiculous, rompy, hilarious comedy.
Over the top.
Just oh, the edge.
But yeah, I would love dearly to see a fully realized animated version.
All right, so Robert Kirkman, if you're listening right now, which you probably are, please do us this favor. This is Battle the Pope only anime. Thing I will ever ask of you.
Robert Kirkman, if you are listening, ignore everything I've said about you. You're a great guy. You're a great guy.
You're really good at ending things, I promise.
Or you will be when you feel the time is ready. Oh, shit.
One of us is going to check our fucking emails on the website, and it's going to be like, you have an email from Robert Kirkman? Oh, shit. No.
How did he find my fucking email?
It's just two words. Fuck you.
No. It's a DMCA and, like, a lawsuit.
Oh. Fuck.
No. The DMCA and the lawsuit are linked to the words fucking you, so it's like a hyperlink.
Oh, God.
Oh, Robert Kirkman hates me.
This is now canon.
He's going to have them make a fucking foam version of my head and have me killed on The Walking Dead now or something. That rat bastard. Dear God.
What have we done?
You know what's funny? Is, so much of the story, I don't want to say relies on sex, but has a lot of sex.
Like a lot.
But when you get down to it, two of the later storylines are actually matters of love.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of an odd kind of, you know, both sides of the fence view. It's like, yeah. you got Pope who's fucking married because she's hot and he wants to fuck her. Then you got, you know, the battle of Pope versus God, because God's a little fucking bitch and can't admit to Mary loves her. Or, you know, the fact that Pope fucked that demon chick and got that demon pissed off at him because he was in love with her and too much of a little bitch to say anything.
That's one of the better parts of that whole thing, that whole self-realization thing. And then finally he's defeated and he's just like, I want to help you guys out with fighting crime. My life has been meaningless.
But it's like, through the repetition of that same theme, I really gotta wonder who it is that fucked fucking Robert Kirkman over in life by fucking the woman he was in love with.
Yeah, yeah. I do wanna know. Dude, I mean, feel for you.
This is like IMAX level projection.
This is projection in 12K.
Yeah.
Clearly, he was in love with someone who converted to some sort of weird religion. So it's just like, fuck you, God. Fuck you for taking away my wife.
She became like a Southern Baptist or something. Ugh. But yeah, it's just.
Your sons grow up to be preachers, anyway.
That's one thing, honestly, I've really come into since I've, since we started this podcast, I've started looking at the comics and looking at the themes that recur and just wonder at what point, who hurt these people? It's like reading Sandman and all of fucking Dream's issues with women. I just want to like hold Neil Gaiman and be like, who hurts you?
Put on some sad music and give him a cuddle.
It's not gay.
Somehow,
I mean,
Careless Whisper ends up in the playlist. You're by the fireside. You guys are wrapped up in a fur minx blanket.
Okay, now this is just becoming gay fan fiction.
Hey.
And by the way, if anyone's going to do that, it's going to be me.
That is true. That is true.
But like that, you could say that about pretty much any comic because it's always something I think that's really interesting because it's always such a long moving media. You know, Superman's been around since the 30s. Batman's been around since the 40s. We've got all these, you know, different artists, different writers working on the material with the same characters. You get, like, their personality being reflected in comics. Even when it's just a short run, even when it's just, like, a battle pulp, even when it's just, you know, been really short, you know, a few issues or even one or two, people can only write about what they know and what they've experienced and stuff. So, like, comics in that way are just fantastic, not only for, like, an artistic perspective, but also kind of a personal one, if that makes sense. Because, like...
Oh, yeah, especially if you take in mind comics like The Crow.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, insane.
Deeply,
like,
yeah, deeply insane. Personal narratives.
And people, like, writers tend to write about similar things. Like Robert Kirkman and stuff, he's clearly got kind of, not an issue, but he writes a lot about people's relationships and how they break down. There's a big scene or a big series of that kind of thing happening in The Walking Dead. There's a big kind of father-son relationship in Invincible.
Yeah.
So it's Now that there's so many more comics and so much more publications going on, with so many more writers and artists, it's really interesting to kind of look at that and look at it back over, you know, how many years that comics have been going. It's again, this is a very lofty topic to be talking about when the topic of conversation is about battle pulp. But still, it's even the, you know, silliest out there, most metal comic in the world can get you thinking about things like that. And that's kind of the power of comics as a whole, really.
Yeah, and I think, like I mentioned, the one that really nailed that home for me was The Crow. Mm, you know, absolutely. Reading the interviews of James O'Barr and about how deeply personal his comic narrative was to him, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you see that even in places you wouldn't think. Like, even Johnny the Homicidal Maniac is kind of a fucking portal into Joan Vasquez's soul.
Yeah.
It's a deeply weird place, but hey.
I think one of the most kind of obvious examples that you guys have talked about before is Mouse.
Yep.
That's a complete... That's an autobiography, basically.
Mm-hmm. Or Persepolis.
Persepolis as well. And... I guess they're kind of just more or less a true story that happened, told in a slightly heightened way. Not you know, wasn't much added to it, but the way it was told was slightly altered for the media. But like, yeah, if you go and look at Art Spiegelman's other stuff, not his biographical stuff, but more of his story based stuff. The same stuff emerges, like his relationship mm-hmm. with his father is everywhere in the stuff he... His mother's suicide, like, everywhere after it happened, you know? There was the comic that it did more or less straight after she died, where it was just completely, like, fucked up the way it looked. It was, like, so...
Oh, the one where he feels like he's in jail or whatever it was, or prison?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's like it's really difficult as well sometimes because if you have an artist or a writer that you like and something happens to them, then it's going to affect them really badly. Like this isn't a comics example, but it's something that I've noticed with Robert Plant. His son died, mm-hmm. and his voice changed after that happened. And
yeah.
That happens in comics all the time. You're just not aware of it until after the fact, because comic artists and writers tend to be a little bit more reserved, unless you're like Frank Miller or something. But you know, you never find out, and then you kind of track it back and go, oh, this is where this event happened, this is where this event happened. How it affected the writing in that way and stuff.
And I'm going to be completely honest with you. If you don't have that level of attachment to your work, where who you are, you know, if who you are does not come through in your work, I don't want to read your work.
Exactly. If you're a writer, you should be a part of what you're writing. And that's not just comics, that's everything.
And by that, I'm not saying let's shoehorn our politics and social theories.
No.
Right.
It's just obvious.
Jesus fucking Christ, you know?
Exactly. It's more obvious and kind of more believable when person knows what they're talking about. And that's not, you know, that's nothing to do with politics or anything like that. But if they understand people, if they understand an event, if they understand how things affect other people based on what's happened in the past, that makes for the best writing. And again, even this comes out of a conversation from Battle Pope, it's still, because there's such kind of that shift towards the end, talking about relationships instead of just fucking, it's kind of a... Did, you know, Robert Kirkman have some sort of realization? Because there was a big break between the first issue and the last issue.
Mm-hmm.
So did he have kind of a change of heart? Or not change of heart, but did he grow up a little, in want of a better term? But it's great to kind of to see that.
Now, Jordan.
Yeah.
This is the point where you have to admit defeat.
Okay.
Let's see. What was it you said this morning? I think you guys might hate me by the time we were done with tonight's podcast recording.
Well, okay. In my defense, I thought I was going to be the contrarian fuckwit who's like, yeah, no, this kind of fucking sucks for this reason. And then your ass goes, oh no, I agree with you. So I admitted defeat like a while ago.
But not only that, I took it a step further. We managed to get actual insightful discussion on something as base as Battle Pope.
I think that deserves like an award or something, or at least like a cookie.
Well, he did buy me a game earlier, so
there you go. There's your fucking reward, asshole.
But yeah, I mean, that's one thing I've always liked about Kirkman. You see him in his work, you know?
Yeah.
And especially with Invincible, because you could tell he put his heart into that so much. I'll be honest with you, I've only read a couple issues of The Walking Dead, so I can't really say much there. And I've only watched the first season of the show. I can't watch shows while they're still ongoing. I can't stand waiting week to week or, you know, months between seasons when I can just sit down in one month and have the whole thing done and over with, you know?
I'm very much the same way, yeah.
That's how I am with comics, too. I don't even like with the show, I don't pick stuff that's ongoing if I can help it. Because I feel like it needs a definitive ending before we should be looking back at it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, oh, the storyline's over. In a few cases, yeah, I'll let that slide. But when you're dealing with a medium that constantly contradicts and overwrites itself, I feel you gotta wait till the end to see how it's gonna be at the finish, you know? See what gets overwritten, what gets kept, before I can sit there and say, yeah, this was good. Like, over the years, too many comics have gone from good to bad to good. Just because of retcons and shit.
Yeah.
So I prefer, you know, at least for, like, the purposes of the show, the miniseries, the one-shot, or, you know, the longer-read stories we do. And that's why I like Battle Pope, actually, to be honest. It was a dick joke. but it was a dick joke that didn't overstay its welcome. It could have, yeah, been a 60-70 issue series. But can you really sit there and say, can they keep this formula fresh the entire time?
I think the reason the formula kind of broke down was because there wasn't an opportunity for a wider character development arc. To be completely fair.
Yeah, but how many times can you have a storyline about Pope wanting to fuck another chick?
When he finds someone and settles down, and then you have a whole story arc about him not wanting to be the Battle Pope anymore, and then he gets...
But that, then you've broken the character.
Fair.
While, yes, if you're going a deconstructionist route, that's perfectly fine.
Mm.
But, in general, don't break your own character. Unless you are going to do the ultimate break and kill them.
Yeah, fair. Like Captain Marvel. Rest in peace.
Or, you know, a number of anime end like that with the main character dying. Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Gungrave. Yeah. You know. But they
Jesus
don't.
Jesus Christ, dude. Spoiler warning next time. Fuck's sake.
Fuck you, man. You're listening to a comic book podcast. You fucking accepted and expected spoilers coming in.
How dare you spoil stuff from like 20 years ago? Jesus fucking Christ.
Right?
How could you?
It's not like I'm giving spoilers for next week's issue of Captain America or something.
Pro tip, what? He becomes a Nazi again.
Pro tip, Nick Spencer wrote it, so I didn't give a shit. Hey, Nick Spencer. Yeah, fuck you.
Eat a fat dick.
But well, yeah. Dude, Kirkman's going to send us an email saying thank you for saying that, but you know.
But also, here's your DMCA.
It's like, while I agree with what you said about Nick Spencer, I'm still suing your ass into oblivion.
Thank God we can't actually get sued for this.
Fuck no. Dude, do you think if that was ever an issue, I would have started this podcast? This is the one subject in my life I have any level of fucking passion for. Like, I care about comics more than I cared about my marriage when I was married.
Oof.
And that might not be a good thing to actually admit about myself, but it's true.
So you're just the average nerd, then?
This is now Phil's issue? Issues instead of back issues?
But yeah. In short, fuck Nick Spencer.
I think that's really the lesson of today's episode. Yeah. Just fuck Nick Spencer.
Oh, and if you're still listening somehow, Kirkman, please. Animated Battle Pope series, please.
You know the worst part is I cannot tell you how many episodes out of 26 that we've actually sat there and said, fuck you, Nick Spencer.
At least 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's a recurring theme, dude.
Fuck this... Nick Spencer, dude. Like, come on. Like,
can I do one? Because I've yet to say fuck Nick Spencer, even though I just did. Can I also add fuck you, Joe Quesada? You cunt!
While we're at it, Bendis can suck a dick.
Oh.
Bendis can fuck right off this planet.
Amen.
This is now catharsis issues.
Oh, man.
But no, I think like the... I want to say newer, but it's not true. Newer writers, that, for me at least, that I've gotten into. Kirkman's coming out pretty good. I've read about 10 issues of Invincible. All of Battle Pope, and like I said, a few odds and ends issues of Walking Dead. But I'm honestly taking a liking to his style. And the fact that he, you know, has the range to go serious and then to go to batshit crazy.
Yeah, in my opinion, because I've read a lot of The Walking Dead, I've read all of Invincible and this and his Astounding Wolfman stuff. Robert Kirkman's great in kind of shorter bursts, like, it does great in, like, a 50-issue run. Longer than that, and he starts kind of not knowing what to do. And really, the only example we've got of that is The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And up to like, the 50th or so issue, it's fucking great. Like, so good. Then it just kind of meanders around, doesn't really know what to do. I've not even read the last, like, 7 or 8 trades of it, because I got to a point where I was just like, I can't really be bothered anymore. I was just keeping up with the same stuff going on over and over and over again. And, yeah, I think he should perhaps spread himself out a little bit more, because he's got some fantastic ideas, but maybe on a few different things, but just for a shorter amount of time each.
So, I gotta ask then, John, are you sad to hear Invincible's ending?
No. I really, really do like Invincible a hell of a lot. I think it's I think it's better than The Walking Dead. And I think ending it is probably the best thing it could do, because I don't want it to turn into The Walking Dead again.
Yeah, I could see that. That's why I've really been hesitant to get into The Walking Dead, honestly.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question about somebody else that worked on this? What else has Tony Moore drawn? Because I want to see more art like this.
Oh god, Tony Moore done a shitload. Walking Dead, Fear Agent, let's see.
It did the Ghost Rider as well.
Ghost Rider, yep. He did some Punisher stuff. He did some Venom stuff. He even did some Deadpool stuff. Well, actually, that was a good storyline. It's one Brian Posehn wrote. Like, I say good, it's not, like, really good. It's just, like, it's solid. I thought, at least.
But, yeah, it's like, no, I just love the art style in this. The shading's done beautifully. The color really adds everywhere that it is. Like, if this was all black and white, I don't think it would have been as good. Like, if the whole run had been in a black and white style, I don't think that it would have done well uncolorized. But that's just me. What do you guys think?
Read the 3-issue miniseries, St. Michael, and you see how it looks without color.
Okay, I'll have to go do that. I didn't get a chance to read
it. It's a little hard to follow with your eyes at times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not bad.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah, the color. It adds a lot. Holy fuck.
So that just goes to show that,
but
you know,
I do have to say, though, for a black and white comic, it's not the worst.
No, it's not the worst, but
I'm looking at you, Tank Girl.
Fucking hell.
Oh, God. I can't even.
Hell, one of my favorite comic series is completely black and white. For like 90 some odd issues.
We tried to read Tank Girl for an episode. Jesus Christ.
I've heard the fucking war stories.
Oh god. Just don't. Everybody listening right now, do yourself a favor, never read Tank Girl.
Well, no, guys, I'm gonna have to say it. At some point, now that we have the cast that we have,
oh, we have to tear Tank Girl a new asshole?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
Situation now has made it viable for us to be able to do so.
I will go on record at this point and say I'm not going to be happy when we have that issue.
I think we should approach it the best way possible, though, John.
By being insanely drunk?
Second best way possible.
Okay.
To go into it, try to give it an even shot, and if we don't like it, we'll just come on here and make fun of it for an hour. There's no reason to get mad over it. At the very least, we'll have an hour laughing our asses off.
Pretty much, yeah. Anyway, Battle Pope. I recommend it. Go read it. Do yourself a fucking favor, like right now.
Yeah, it's good shit.
At the very least, enjoy the fucking art.
Yeah.
And then big old titties.
There's plenty of titties.
so the titties are so fucking good. I mean, I don't want to be so bold as to say they're the best titties I've seen in comics, but they're fucking up there.
They're in the top, like, six.
Oh, dude, start reading Heavy Metal Magazine, then come back to me. they'll show you some good old titties.
Jesus Christ, dude, you really became the creepy uncle right there.
That's the point. Well, no, it's like, it really, honestly, I read stuff like that because I like the pulp style. Mm. It just happens to have a lot of titties. It doesn't bug me one way or another. But there's a lot of titties. I mean, it's like that episode of South Park where they were making fun of heavy metal.
Yeah.
Which really just becomes a cyclical reference.
Right.
But at the same time, if you knew heavy metal before that episode of South Park, you're already thinking that anyway. I mean, one of my earliest memories, honestly, is watching heavy metal when I was 3 years old. That is not so a movie you should be letting a three-year-old watch.
That explains so fucking much about why you are the way you are.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I was watching Ralph Bakshi by the time I was eight.
Oh, fucking.
And I'm not talking his family-friendly, like, Lord of the Rings shit. I'm talking Coonskins.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, this is why I run a comic book podcast. But yes, on that note, I think the general consensus is if you want something balls to the walls crazy and metal as hell, go pick up Battle Pope.
And at the very least, go read at least an issue for the art.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful. And just to, you know, kind of laugh at the, you know, it's the fact that it's playing stereotypes for stereotypes' sake, and it's fun. I mean, that's the biggest takeaway. It's fun. Turn your brain off and just watch a Pope fuck his way through hell.
Quite literally.
Yes. But yes, if you're still here, thank you for listening. We'll be back at you next week.
Later.
Later.
See you later.